Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your prayer, place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us this evening, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. God's blessings be with you as we are looking at the book by Dr. Charles Spurgeon. Entitled Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. Again, we are so excited to have you with us this evening, and we are going to try to start off with prayer. We're going to have scripture, we will have a song, and then we'll have intercessory prayer. Amen. So let's get started. Again, we are trying to manage the technical difficulty in the studio. And at this time, we are going to try to open the channel so that our other panel members can participate. We'll try that now. If you are there, if you would please let me know that you can actually hear me by saying something.
I'm able to hear
Amen.
You.
Amen. Okay. Were you able to hear the introduction?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and start off with scripture. And I will read the scripture. Unless you can read it, Bishop, or I can do it. Are you able to read? I'll go ahead and... You can? Okay. We can't hear you. There's a big lag in the communication. So feel free to go ahead and... read the scripture.
I have to pull the scripture up first. Psalm 65.
Okay. Yes, Psalm 65. Good morning. Evening. We're glad to have those of you who have joined us this evening. Good to see you. Hadn't seen you in a moment. Glad you're here. You at work tonight?
Doc, you're going to have to... read the scripture. I can't pull it up.
That's fine. I'm going to read Psalm 65.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read, I'm going to read the whole passage.
Okay.
And focus on the first through the second verses. We're going to be hearing Psalm 65, focusing on the first through the second verses, but I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's a short psalm. The scripture says, "What mighty praise, O God, belongs to you in Zion. We will fulfill our vows to you, for you answer our prayers. All of us must come to you, though we are overwhelmed by our sins. You forgive them all. What joy for those you choose to bring near, those who live in your holy courts. What festivities await us inside your holy temple. You faithfully answer our prayers with awesome deeds, our God, O God, our Savior. You are the hope of everyone on earth, even those who sail on distant seas. You formed the mountains by your power and armed yourself with mighty strength. You quieted the raging oceans with their pounding waves and silenced the shouting of the nations. Those who live at the ends of the earth stand in awe of your wonders, from where the sun rises to where it sets. You inspire shouts of joy. You take care of the earth and water it, making it rich and fertile. The river of God has plenty of waters. It provides a bountiful harvest of grain, for you have ordered it so. You drench the plowed ground with rain, melting the clods and leveling the ridges. You soften the earth with showers and bless its abundant crops. You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathway overflows with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness become a lush pasture, and the hillsides blossom with joy. The meadows are clothed with flocks of sheep, and the valleys are carpeted with grain. They all shout and sing for joy. And Dr. Spurgeon wants us to focus on what mighty praise, O God, belongs to you in Zion. We will fulfill our vows to you, for you answer our prayers. All of us must come to you. Amen, amen. So it's at this time that we've had the prayer. We were listening to the scripture. We're going to listen to a song. And then after the song, we'll start with intercessory prayer.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now is the time
Amen.
When we come
Amen.
To lift up our needs and our concerns before the Lord. Are there any prayer requests on the time on the line right now? Are there any prayer requests? Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Pastor Bishop Michael.
Bless
it's
you,
Margaret. How are you?
God is doing it. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I have several requests today.
Okay.
I have prayers for my youngest daughter, Maya, who's 23 weeks pregnant, and she feels some kind of sniffle come on, allergies, but swollen glands, sore throat,
mm-hmm.
and just prayers for healing touch. She doesn't want to take medication right now, being pregnant.
Sure.
And also for my grandson, Elliot, who has a bad rash. So a touch of healing for him as well. And I also, this afternoon, met a homeless woman whose sister is going to have a surgery. Prayers
okay.
for her sister and for a hernia repair. And
Amen.
Also prayers for the homeless that I encountered today.
Yeah.
Just prayers for the Lord's touch that they would receive a healing, many of them, in their mind, body, and soul because
yeah.
of mental illness and PTSD. And also I have to have a prayer for a visit with my cousin who's flown out from Hawaii just for a blessed visit together.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. This is Dr. Susie Bishop, and I would like to offer several prayer requests, and would like to also do a praise report. My son is recovering from being ill, and I thank God for that. My daughter is living in Indiana. She's doing okay. So we thank God for her and her job, and everything is doing well for her. I thank God that their family is doing well, their dad's well. And I thank God that I've been able to get part of my business launched, in the sense that the preparation for that is mostly done. I just have to do a few other things. Other than that, God is helping to meet the need, and everything is working.
Thank God for that.
Just asking personally, there's a job that I've applied for. I ask favor with that position, that I would be given that position and the opportunity to serve there. Also asking for blessings for those on the Bible study. We thank God that Brother Carter was able to join us tonight, and he's able to listen and be a part of the Bible study again, even if it's for a brief time. We just thank God for that. We also want to ask God to bless revival in the church. We always want to lift up revival in the church so that we understand that as the days are nearing, that God is coming back And we want God's people to be ready and able to go as well. We ask for protection for the Bible study and that it might flourish as God is working in our lives. For healing for those who are sick, that their voices might get better. I ask God to continue to protect me against COVID. In the VA, I'm told we're taking masks off and we won't have to wear the mask after the 11th of this month, but we'll see.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I echo the revival for the church. And I want to pray for those that are facing opposition of any type, and for, you know, people that have favor on their job and that God would encounter them with a shield of favor in Jesus' name. And, of course, we pray for souls to be saved and God would use us. Amen. So are there any other prayer requests? Souls to be saved. Lord, we glorify you. We extol you. We exalt you. We bless your holy name. We bless you because you are our God and we are your children. We bless you because you rescued us from a burning hell. You put us on a lifestyle and a willingness to serve you and to learn more of you, to sit at your feet, to learn from you and learn about you, Lord. We bless you and glorify you. We have never experienced the love that you have for us. We never experienced a love like that. It is unrivaled. It is unmatched. And we thank you for loving us. And Lord, forgive us for times that we've overlooked or looked past or taken for granted your love. Lord, in a world of evil and hatred and opposition and visceral and venomous people, God, we thank you that we have your love. No greater love have we experienced. No greater love is there available than the love there is of God. And we bless you and we glorify you. We thank you. We praise you. Lord God, we thank you for Margaret. Bless her, Lord. We thank you for what she adds to the program. We thank you for her keen insight, God, and we lift up Maya right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are touching her, that you're watching over her, and Lord, that I thank you that she walks in divine health in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord. We know about those allergies, God, so we pray for the child that she's carrying. And we thank you, Lord God, that she walks in divine health in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Elliot. Oh, bless his heart, God. We thank you for healing him of the rash, Lord, and take away that everything that goes with it. We come against all of the histamines, God, that's causing the itching, God. Lord, just soothe it and calm it down in Jesus' name. Lord, we do. You told us, you said in your word that the poor that we will have with us always. And Lord, those that are out of doors, mental illness, poverty, whatever reason, bad mistakes, Lord God, because everybody that is out there is not mentally ill or they're out there due to some bad decisions, God. Help them to forgive themselves, Lord, and not wallow in their own depression or mistakes. God, heal them and set them straight, Lord, and let them be a couple of millionaires out there that would be restored and be able to have compassion on those. And, Lord, help us that are indoors to have compassion on those that are out of doors. Lord, you said these are the least of your brethren. And as much as we do to them, we do it unto you. So help us to to recognize, help us to recognize, God, that those that are outside of the four walls of shelter, God, they still are your representatives. In Jesus' mighty name, we bless you and glorify you. And we ask for healing for them right now in Jesus' name. And help us to have compassion for them. Lord, we lift up his cousin that is visiting. I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Lord would be there, present during this visit in Margaret's home in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift up James, and we thank you for this praise report for James being able to feel better, Lord God. And we thank you for Sydney being able to do well, God, and living there in Indianapolis. And thank you for James being as well. We thank you for wholeness and healing in Dr. Susan's family. And thank you, Lord God, for Dr. Susan's business being kicked off. We're excited for that. Lord, I pray that every seed that Dr. Susan has sown out of compassion, out of love, out of concern, pray that she would be able to receive it back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Lord, we pray for increase, God, that there is no lack in Dr. Susie's coffers, oh God. I thank you that you would bless her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, and we thank you that greater is coming. Lord, this job situation, Lord, we thank you for favor on this job, God. In this job situation, you are able to give the right job. And, Lord, you said in your word that you would give us the desires of our heart. You said, what things soever we desire when we pray that we believe and we receive them, and we shall have them, Lord God. You told us you would not withhold any good thing from us, Lord. So, God, we stand on your word in faith in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we touch and agree. You said, what two on earth agree is touching any one thing, it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. So we touch and agree for a revival in the church. You said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I heal from heaven. Then will I heal their land. I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. We need our sins to be forgiven. So we stand in the gap for America, for England, for Russia, for Africa, for every country in the nation, God, in the world, God. We stand in the gap and repent. We need our lands healed, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to be rapture ready. So, Lord, help us to lay aside every sin and every weight that easily besets us, and help us to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we pray for the protection on the Bible study. We pray for the sick, those of us that have been impacted by sickness, God. Restore our voices, Lord, restore our health. We thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. So heal us, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Those that are facing opposition on jobs, oh God, opposition in society, Lord, we pray that you would be a shield for them, the glory and the lifter of their head. We thank you for favor, and Lord, we pray for souls. We pray for the end time harvest, God. Send laborers to the portion of the vineyard of where we are, that we might be able to reap this harvest of souls. We don't want to be said our work was left undone. Use us, we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We are so excited that God has been blessing us. We thank the Lord for the prayers. We ask God to continue to watch over us and keep us. And we just thank you, Bishop, for using your gift, even though you are dealing with the hoarseness today. As we continue with the Bible study tonight, our focus has been interesting. We're all the way on the last book. The fifth book, the book before the last one, and it's Spurgeon's book on praise. And this week, the topic of this chapter is acceptable praises and vows. And so we are thanking God for the opportunity to be able to talk tonight, to share tonight, that we have a voice, that we can think, that we have a reasonable portion of health and strength, and we're going to give what we have to the Lord. Amen. Give it all to Him. So tonight, Bishop is going to start us talking about praises, and Margaret, they're going to join together in talking about this passage. Let's spend a few minutes, maybe 15, 20 minutes on praise, and then we'll jump to talk about the last part of the chapter about vows and close out. So, Bishop, I'll turn it over to you. If you're ready to go, let's go, let's go. We're glad to have Brother Ivan Carter on the line again. So, Brother Carter, we're glad you're here. Hope you can enjoy tonight. We know you're just listening in. But praise be to God. We're glad you're here.
Amen. So, my question to you all, when is there not a time to praise God?
Have mercy.
When you forget?
I think we always.
Yeah. You said when you forget, that's good.
If we forget.
Yeah. You know, if we start our day with praise on our lips because God is so good that, you know, we realize that those of us that have been born again for any length of time, we recognize that when we go to sleep, we are not in control. So, you know, that's really in the whole scheme of things, we're not in control when we're awake. Hello. So we give God praise for who He is in our life. And so I've heard old folks say, you know, when praises go up, blessings come down. Right? I know that praise is a, you know, we can praise God. And you read the Psalms and look, the Psalms are replete with praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. His what? Praise shall happen. How long? Continually be in my mouth.
Continually.
My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Then it got good to him. He says, oh, come on, y'all. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And there's something that happens when we praise God. And when we praise God, as Spurgeon was talking about in this, and it's not some sort of rote memory mechanical exercise, but when it comes out of our soul, out of our spirit, out of our being. So really, you know, we don't really need a named reason, hallelujah, to praise God. I'm going to bless the Lord always. When I'm happy, I'm going to praise Him. When I'm sad, I'm going to praise Him. When I'm sick, I'm going to praise Him. When I'm healed, I'm going to praise Him. When I'm going to work and I don't feel like going to work, I praise Him for a job. Because there was a time I didn't have a job. Oh, bless His name. So it says right here, upon Zion was erected an altar dedicated to God for the offering of sacrifices, except when prophets were commanded by God to sacrifice elsewhere, burnt offerings were to be offered only there. The worship of God up on the high places was contrary to the divine command. He said, take heed to yourselves that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of the tribes. There thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I commanded thee. Deuteronomy 12 and 13. For this reason, the tribes on the other side of Jordan, when they erected a memorial altar, disclaimed that all intention of using it for the purpose of sacrifice, they said plainly, God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord.
but to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, for sacrifices, beside the altar of the Lord God that is before his tabernacle. And that's Joshua 22:9. When we praise God, when we bring our sacrifices of praise to God, I heard an old preacher, you know, interpret the sacrifices of praise. We praise God even when we don't feel like it, but I think it's more than that.
Amen.
When we praise God, it's out of something, you know, that's already happened. Amen.
Amen. Out of relationship.
Come on.
Amen.
Out of relationship. Come on.
Praise God, it's like when we see God, and this is what came to me, when we actually see the splendor of God, hallelujah, when we actually see the kingdom, when we see the crystal fountain, when we see the great thrones, when we see the 12 pearls, when we see the streets that are not paved with gold but are made with purest gold to the point where it's transparent, I believe then that we will say, you know what, we did not praise him adequately enough.
Well, not enough. Have mercy.
That's why the writer may have got a glimpse and said, you know, if I had, 10,000 tongues,
yes,
I would not be able to see.
Praise
I
him
would
enough.
Not be able
Ooh.
To praise him enough. In fulfillment of this ancient type, we also have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. No observers of the materialistic ritualism intrude on our spiritual worship. They have no right to eat at our spiritual altar. There is no other at which they can eat and live forever. There is but the altar of Jesus, our Lord. Our altars are the imposters. Listen to this. All other altars are imposters and idolatrous inventions. Whether of stone, wood, brass, they are the toys with which those who have returned to the beggarly elements of Judaism amuse themselves, or else the apparatus in which clerical jugglers dupe the sons and daughters of men. In other words, don't fall for the okey-doke.
All right.
Some people will try to convince you that a certain thing is God and a certain thing is not God. I know of a person that would always say, that's not God, that's not God, that's just not God. And I said, you tell me what God is not. Could you tell me what God is? Because the way I've been taught, the way I've been trained, you notice the real. You know all the checkpoints of what is real. And God is so vast, you can't know all of his checkpoints. Amen.
Amen.
But if it lines up with the word of God, if it lines up with God's holy writ, that's God. If a person gives you a word of prophecy and that prophecy does not come to pass, they did not miss God. They gave you a false prophecy.
That's right. Amen. That's right, according to the word. That's right.
Come on, somebody. They gave you a false prophecy. But when the word of God comes true,
comes to pass,
do we
give
the glory to that prophet, or do we praise God because his
word
came to pass? Hallelujah. So we give God praise. Holy places made with stands with hands are now abolished. See that? Why? Why would God do that? Because he does not want you to look upon the beauty of the artistry of which that stand was made. Because there's more beauty. You think you've seen something beautiful now? Well, the beauty of God's face is so beautiful that no man can stand to look at it. That's some beauty for you.
Glory, glory.
He's got creatures surrounding his throne, where there's a creature that has eyes all over his head.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that would be something that is hideous to look at. But God says it's beautiful, and if God says it's beautiful, guess what? It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. That's beautiful.
I've heard people witness and testify, and y'all have too, where some people have actually beheld the face of an angel and said that's the most beautiful thing they'd ever laid eyes on. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So he does not want us to focus up on there. He says there are the figures of the true, but now the substance has come. The type is done away with. All glorious person, the Redeemer, God and man, the great center of Zion's temple is the only real, hallelujah, the only real altar of sacrifice is Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that's something to ponder,
So what you're saying is that according to the Old Testament, the Lord said that there was only one place that an offering should take place. Everything else was considered to be the high places, because unless God ordained it, it was not to be so. So today, since we don't live in that time and that era, it is Christ that is the altar. It is Christ that is the place in which we go to offer our sacrifices and praise, and we go to God. That's the clarity. We have to have that clarity. Thank you.
He is the church's head, the church's heart, the church's altar, the priest, and Paul. He got so good about it that he's my all in all. Glory to God.
Well,
unto him shall be the gathering of the people.
So
around him. Paul, go ahead, Doc.
So as we look at about 10 more minutes dealing with praise, what are the high points you want us to focus on, Bishop, as we look at this section on praise?
The altar. And that gives you, when we're talking about praise, there's no higher place than Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, which means what? You know, God is what does the Bible say? He is enthroned upon the praises of his people. I mean, God comes in and he sits down upon our praises. We are the throne of God when we praise God. Amen.
So basically you're saying that Christ is now the altar. That's the key that we're supposed to get out of this one section, is that when we gather in Christ's name around his finished sacrifice, and we present prayers and praises to the Lord Jesus Christ as we would a sacrifice in the days of old. But we bring our praises to the Lord, and we offer them to Jesus Christ now. And that's clear. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the other thing you want us to learn from this?
Jesus is the center of our praises. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is the. Here's the thing. I may be getting ahead of myself. Maybe Margaret is getting ready to pick it up. But I remember him saying this, you know, there are some times that we don't want them, you know, the people in the congregation to focus their attention upon the pastor. Why are we in church? You know, that hit hard, that hit strong, mainly because of my own maps in the body of Christ, where I've been through and where I've traveled. There are ministries that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Bishop, as you're saying that, they also said we don't focus on the choir. Because sometimes what happens is the people begin to look at the choir and get caught up in the choir and the performance that they forget who it is they're supposed to be praising. The choir is praising the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we're paying attention to the choir, we're focused on the song and the music, but that's not where the focus should be. The focus should be if you hear that music, if you listen to those words, your praise and focus needs to be on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hold the glory of your presence.
Which is why we go to church.
We, your temple, give you reverence. So arise to your rest and be blessed by our praise as we glory in your embrace, as your temple now gives you praise. Now, when you hear those words, those are Christ-centered, Christ-directed words. Oh, the glory of your presence. And I've been in services where when the presence of God showed up, that was when we would sing that song. That was when miracles would happen. That was when deliverance would happen. That was when people would get rededicated because of the presence of God, because of the anointing of God,
amen,
because of the reverence of God.
So it says that when we consider the holy offering of worship that we desire to present to God, it's twofold. It's praise, and then there's a vow. A praise that waits and a vow of which performance is promised. And then it goes on, because we only have a few more minutes in praise, is we want to talk about the praises, adoration's main ingredient. What is the big idea when it's saying praise is adoration's main ingredient? What does that mean?
That's where the focus is upon. You know, why are we praising God?
When it
adoration
says, praise the Lord,
adore,
O Jerusalem, praise thy God, O Zion.
Yeah.
Praise ye
the
Lord. And
yes.
Right. And so it keeps using the scripture to show us that the focus of the praise is the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. So we understand that the adoration's main ingredient is praise to God. So that's what it's saying. All praises belong to God. There's no focus on anything but the Lord. And then it says, how long are we supposed to praise him?
Well,
I think you said it earlier.
Continually.
You said continually. Continually it says, our praise shall be in my mouth.
Continually.
Praise shall be in my mouth. And it says true praise waits on God. So what are we talking about here when we
say?
What does that mean,
praise
waits on God?
And some,
what does that mean?
It's like silence praise when you're in awe. You ever seen something of God that has done? God has done something in your life, and it just catches you. And you're silent. You're speechless. You ever been in a service where everybody's worshiping and praising God, and all of a sudden a holy hush comes over the whole congregation at the same time? There's that praise waiting. Praise waits for you. We know that he's doing something. He's in the midst of something. Sometimes that praise that he's talking about, that wait, it's silent. The praise gets silent. So do we have to be saying something? Some of the most perfect praises when we say that, when we say nothing in God's presence. That's respect. That's adoration. That's reverence. That's holy reverence. I don't say anything. the earth, the Lord is in all the earth. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep what? Silent.
Okay, so it's saying that, so that's where you're saying the praise waited for thee, or the praise is silent before thee.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying, amen.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do our best, our highest praise is but silence before God, and we must praise
mm-hmm.
God with confession of shortcoming.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't do everything that God has called us to do, and then
mm-hmm.
we... Then what else? What else is he saying about praising come from the heart? For if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. So basically what this is saying is, look, I'm not going to have no stone crying out on my behalf. If God, I'm supposed to praise the Lord. And so the scripture in Luke 19:40 says, and the old Methodist used to say, it says, when uttered in favor, were not to be forbidden, for if these should hold their peace, the stones would cry out. I remember that as a child growing up, and they would say, you know, I'm not going to let the stones cry out on in my behalf, but I will praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And so...
Amen.
Is it time to look at praise waits expectantly and why we have the reasons to praise God? It says, iniquities prevail against me as for transgressions. Thou shalt purge them away. Infinite love has made us completely clean, though we were black and filthy. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God for it. And then he says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. So he says, is not the blessing of access to God? Come on, y'all.
Come on.
Like they said before, earlier in the book, we don't always have access to the Pope, do we? But we always have access to our Lord and Savior. The moment that the temple was rent in two, and the Lord proceeded out from the inside out, we were given equal access to the Lord, and we could go on our own behalf. So blessed is the man which chooses that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of the house, even of thy holy temple. For the Lord hath done great things for us, and we are glad.
Glad.
Amen. So we have lots of reasons. So let's talk about Margaret. Bishop, is there any last things you want to say so we can talk about vows, how to remember and perform vows? If you don't have anything else to...
about this. Let's go head on.
Amen, amen.
Dr. Susan, you never ask a preacher, does he have anything else to say?
All right. I just thought your throat was messing with you, so I was trying to help.
Never ask a preacher, does he have anything else to say? Yes, I got a lot to say, but Margaret, I want to hear from you.
Well, I will be praying for you, Bishop Michael.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
And thank you so much for giving us such a good word this evening, despite the suffering that we hear in your voice. The first thing I looked up, what does a vow truly mean? And it's a solemn promise made to, I looked at the archaic meaning because that's what we're talking about here, to a deity, committing oneself to an act, a service, or a condition.
All right.
And Spurgeon says that even in his day that people were not into making vows as they once did. He also mentions or alludes to how people make vows when they're in times of duress or trial.
Yeah.
They vow to the Lord, help me, save me, and I will commit my life to you. But it's not necessarily genuine. And he himself confesses that he has not kept his vow to the Lord as he wishes he could have, because at his conversion, he surrendered himself, body, soul, and spirit, to mm-hmm. him, Christ Jesus, who bought me with a price. And the vow was
yes.
not made by way of excess of devotion or superfluously. It was but my reasonable service, which he quotes from Romans chapter 12, verse 1.
Yes.
Do you remember, he says, the love of your betrothal, the time when Jesus was very precious and you had just entered into the marriage bond with him? You gave yourselves up to him to be his forever and forever. It is a part of worship to perform that vow. Renew it now. Make another surrender of yourselves to him who you are and whom you serve. And that's something we see, that recommitment.
Sister Margaret, I have a
yes.
question regarding this vow. You know, is this something that we should be doing, or, you know, now, today? Is it, because I heard you say that Spurgeon was saying, you know, we don't do it here. So are there vows that we should be making?
As Christians, we should be. But as I read this, I thought how modern and contemporary his statement was, because people are not making vows. They're like, let mm-hmm. me get out of this. Let me slide by without any commitment, without giving anything
yes.
of myself.
Well,
of course, we should be committing ourselves, mind, body, and soul, to the Lord. That's what our reasonable service is to our Lord Jesus. After all that he's done for us.
Amen.
You know, I really am and kind of blown away when Spurgeon made a point of saying, I remember, let me read it because I can't quote it. It says, the love of your betrothal. The time, do you remember the love of your betrothal? I was thinking, wow, do y'all think about being married to Jesus? The time when Jesus was precious and you entered into the marriage bond with him, you gave yourself up to him to be his forever and ever. Do we think of it that way? Have mercy.
And Dr. Susan, on that point.
Yes.
When I was young in the Lord and we had a dinner, our choir had a dinner over at one of my friends. You met Pastor Troy Owens. We were praying and we were like in our mid to early 20s. And Pastor Owen said, Lord, we love you. And that resonated in me because I didn't know we could love the Lord, if you understand what I mean by that. I didn't know we could tell him that we love you, because I was raised in a different, you know, it was something that was real personal to me. Jesus,
right,
somebody
the intimacy type of thing.
You
yes,
see?
You didn't know that you could attribute the intimacy to the Lord. I know what you're saying.
I could say that. I did not know I could say that, and that stayed with me these 40 years. I can love the Lord. I get to love the Lord. I get to show the Lord the love. What you know? Because he showed us a whole bunch of love. I get to return some of that to him. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because it says you gave yourself up to him to be his forever and ever. We made a commitment. And, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I praise the Lord. And I say, Lord, please help me. I don't want to be the kind of person that marries and divorce and marries and divorce and marries and divorce and marries and divorce, especially when I'm talking about you. I want our love to be such that it's sweeter than honey. I don't want to be the bride that's all beat up, like the church that's been fighting, coming into the wedding house all beat up and tore up. I want to be beautiful for the Lord. I want to be ready when he comes with things in place the way he wants me to, so that he can take me home. That's what I'm talking about. That relationship that we claim we want to have, that marriage bond that we have, and how we should renew it. Just like, you know, when husbands and wives renew their vows, when they feel like, you know, sweetie, it's been a while, we've had some struggles, let's renew our vows. Let's make them stronger than they ever were. Ooh, sometimes we have relationships with folks, husbands. We need to go, you know, we need to renew that so that we surrender to one another again, knowing whose we are. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing whose we are. Amen, amen. So I was excited about that. The next thing, Margaret, what's the next focus that you want us to look at about vows?
Well, then he discussed the solemn vow that was made at the time of our baptism when we were buried with Christ by baptism unto death, quoting Romans chapter 6, verse 4. And he says, unless we were greatly pretending, we vowed that we were dead in Christ and buried with him. We also professed that we were risen with him.
Well, come on, y'all. How many times did Eric used to tell us all the time, I went down a wet devil and came, I went down a dry devil and came up a wet one. But when we've confessed, and we believe, then when we go down, we die with Christ. That signifies and relates that we are identifying with Christ's death and burial. And then we rise with him in relationship that we will be with him forever. Because we've accepted that relationship. We've accepted what he has done for us. We claim the victory in the name of Jesus the Christ. And we'll be with him forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah.
And the thing that stuck out to me was when Spurgeon said, he said, unless you were faking it, you actually died with Christ.
Come on.
Yeah. I mean, when he said that, you know, unless you were going through theatrics and acting this out, we actually, and that's how, when I was pastoring in Illinois, I would have to, I want to be baptized. Okay, you want to know what baptism means? Okay, tell me what baptism means to you. And then that's when I would tell them, you know, so you don't know. So, and I would go through that part in Romans and tell them, that means you actually died. You're dead to sin. That's what that
Your
means.
Your old nature is dead.
Come on. Yes.
You have surrendered the old nature and allowed him to be it to be buried. With Christ.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's where we are. I mean, let's get back to the realities and the rudiments of the faith. I'm no longer alive to sin. And so
that is Christ who then lives in and through us. So when we say we don't have the power, we don't. That's why it's an exchange. We exchange his stuff for us. And our stuff, he takes our stuff and gives us his power. He gives us his authority. He gives us his strength.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
The strength exchange.
And
there was
another point that that follows, and it's almost like he's weaving this concept through, because either you did perform the baptism on your part, that you were dead to sin, that you gave yourself, you vowed your mind, body, and soul to Christ to rise with him, to, and yet somehow that you didn't really grasp it because you didn't change or you forgot about it. It wasn't your baptism. You weren't living it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he encourages us to repent and return to our baptism.
and I think that's why Eric, go ahead.
I mean, not virtually, but I'm saying spiritually.
Yeah. So that means if I'm not living up to the baptism and I recognize it, so does that mean I go back to my pastor and say, you know what, I've been living a bad, sinful life. Can you baptize me again? Does that mean I don't have to do that?
I don't think that that's what he's saying. I think he's telling us to remember to return, to repent and return to the life that we were given through our baptism.
If that's the case, people would be being baptized 15 times a day.
Over and over again.
You're right.
Can you imagine the water? Can you imagine the water bill at the church?
That would be a problem.
Listen.
I'm sorry, Lord. I said I was going to behave tonight.
I can't help but bring this up. It's a total off point, but because of the water shortage there and people's love for bees and other pollinators, they've made it a no-mo May.
A no-mo
May.
Yes. I just love the sound of it. It means don't mow your lawn. Let the flowers grow so that the pollinators can enjoy them. And in some states, even they're forbidding growing lawns at all, such as I think it was Arizona, they said. Arizona or Nevada?
On those desert states.
Right there. So
heaven forbid we should be baptizing over and over again.
Amen.
Using up all the water.
Yes.
But so the reality is that we're under a vow.
Amen.
We are under a vow.
Amen.
And I like when he says, elders and deacons, when you accepted your office, you knew what the church meant. You know, I don't know how many people aspire to be a leader in the church, but they don't pay attention to what the responsibility is. They just want to look good up and up in front of something or somebody. And he's making it clear that that's a vow you are taking in service.
Amen.
And holiness.
It's a solemn,
come
sacred
on.
Vow.
Zeal, holiness, you're supposed to be exemplifying this before the rest of the folk in the church. Because the Holy Spirit is what has made you leaders of that flock. And your office says that you have an obligation and that you're under a vow. And you need to act like you're under a vow.
Come on.
Amen.
So
Amen.
That's deep. I think folks need to, that needs to be taught again before folks stand up and raise their hand and say, okay, I do this, this, and this for the church. Do you? Do you understand this is a vow you're taking before the Lord? Do you understand how seriously the Lord takes vows?
Dr. Susie, I just attended one of my friends being installed as the pastor at his church.
Have mercy.
I've never seen it on that line before. And it was like a wedding. There was a responsibility for the congregation, and they made a vow to the Lord. There was a responsibility for the pastor. He made a vow to the Lord and the congregation. They made a vow
and
to the
them.
Lord and the pastor.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Holy. And the reason I guess I've never felt it on that way before, you could feel the presence of God that I was actually witnessing a holy thing. I was actually witnessing. So we have to be careful. We don't glibly throw our vows up to the Lord. And we have to just say, Lord, remind me, keep me in remembrance of that which I promised, that which I entered into covenant with. It's not something that we make lightly. I remember Melba Moore sang a song a while. I made a vow to the Lord. I promised him that I'd go every step of the way. I made a vow to the Lord. We don't sing songs like that no more.
Because we don't want to make no vow.
Come on.
That's
because
we don't
want to
make no vow.
That's a total commitment right there. See,
you remember when Jacob woke up from his dream when he had wrestled with the angel at Bethel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine how he made that vow? How when we deal with what God has in our lives and we make vows when we have children, when we kids graduate from high school and college, and we're thankful when we have them, how we're going to raise them and give them in the admonition of the Lord.
Yeah.
Woo! And then when we go through all of that, Lord have mercy, we'd be wanting to give them back.
Yeah.
Lord, you do your children that day. You just let me take care of them, but they're yours. Do something with this. But it's that vow to give them our best that we always will hold up. And God does the same for us. We get God's best. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. What about encouragement? Brother Ontario, we see you on the line tonight. How are you doing over there?
I'm doing good. Just listening to the good word this evening.
Amen.
God bless you, my brother.
We are talking about vows, Brother Mateo. We're talking about how the Lord, we make vows to the Lord and how we should continually be in relationships such that we're willing to be authentic and serious with the Lord with our service. Amen. So when we talk about blessed encouragement, what's the big idea when it's saying in the scripture, O thou that heareth prayer unto thee, shall all flesh come? We know that God hears the prayer, right? So if God is hearing the prayer, the question becomes in the section about blessed encouragement, what is he saying about vows in this particular context and praise?
Well, I mean, he's kind of downtrodding it. He's calling it the lowest form of worship, yet he accepts it. To me, this was a little slippery to me.
What are you saying he calls the lowest? Because I say praise is superior worship. So what are you saying is the lowest?
Well,
which one are you talking about?
He's saying prayer is the lowest form of worship. Prayer. And that was kind of like a slap in the face to me. Because
when he said that prayer is praise, and then he turns around and says praise is superior worship. On page 455, the second line.
Right. But he's saying prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer is the lowest form of worship. And yet he accepts as if it's it's a put down. I mean,
I
he calls it selfish.
I thought he said prayer was praise. Part of praise.
He says praise.
You didn't connect
is
prayer
superior
and praise.
Worship, but not prayer. Prayer he called selfish.
I'm gonna read this.
It's on 454, bottom paragraph.
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out. I read that he said that prayer was part of praise. So I'm trying to find that. So he kind of contradicts himself, if that's what he's saying. Because if prayer is praise, then it's also part of the highest form of worship. So I don't know.
It says, now observe that if prayer is heard, then praise will be heard too. If the lower form on weaker wing, as it were, prayer, reaches the throne of the majesty on high, how much more shall the angelic wing of praise bear itself into the divine presence?
Well, I'm going to
prayer is heard
agree
by God.
To disagree.
Therefore, our praises and vows will be heard also. This is this is a very great encouragement because it seems terrible to pray if you are not heard and discouraging to praise God if he will not accept the praises. I don't know. He sounds like he's doing a little bit of quick
steps
there.
I think he's sleeping on that one. I think he's sleeping on that one because he... Yeah, because he did
say
that prayer.
Change the course of your movements and your argument here.
I think he was trying to say, and I'm looking for the quote exactly, where he says that prayer and praise, because Bishop and I were talking about that, and he made a point of that, because we were talking, and I don't know that I was agreeing, because he showed me where he was saying that prayer was part of praise. You remember that, Bishop?
Yeah. Prayer and praise go hand in hand.
Yeah, that's what he was. That's what I remember.
Now,
us making,
to me
he made a point
of my head. That's a prayer, but it's also praise. You know,
and that's why
and
he
yes,
just said
yes.
that praise was the highest part, one of the highest parts of worship. Mm-hmm. So I'm just gonna ignore that other part, Margaret, and I'm just gonna
about
say prayer and praise. Yeah, prayer and praise to me are gonna be part of the highest form of worship that is part of high worship because it's elevating.
Amen.
Prayer elevates us for the divine and the human to connect.
Yes.
That's what it does. And so as far as I'm concerned, it's a part of superior worship. So we can keep on going and ignore him on that. We're good.
Yeah, I think that's an opinion, and thank you very much
there
for
you
your
go.
Opinion.
There you go.
Well, and sometimes
right
I mean, not
he
you,
may
I
not
mean
have,
Spurgeon.
No, no, no. I know what you're saying,
Spurgeon's
but what I'm saying
opinion.
Is sometimes he may have gotten twisted, or maybe whoever edited might have said it wrong. We ain't gonna
mm-hmm.
worry about it. We're gonna keep it rolling.
Yes.
So we
because
do believe
prayer is
that
such a blessed privilege. And,
yes, it is.
And we cannot second guess God's opinion of what
no.
pleases Him or not.
Well,
and
I know broken prayer, he says over and over in the book, broken and contrite spirit that has been broken, the spirit that has
mm-hmm.
been prepared for the God is the one that is seeking him the most, is the
mm-hmm.
one that is groaning, is the one that is connecting, and that's the one that God will hear.
Yes.
Is received
you know.
By God through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
In that, I get the parenting side of God. Your broken spirit.
Mm-hmm.
When your baby, is something wrong with your baby. You come in, you see your baby crying. You see that maybe they're not crying, but you know that their countenance is wrong. The Bible says that the Lord is near to them that have a broken heart and have a contrite spirit. And I see the love of God in that he's near. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe. Like, I can't even get to Joe Biden. There's layers of people that I would have to get to
mm-hmm.
get to Joe Biden. But the creator of the universe who created Joe Biden, I can get straight. I have direct access who's the creator of the universe. And I think we kind of overlook mm-hmm. that sometimes. I'm trying to get to Bishop Scheer, the Church of God in Christ presiding bishop. Great guy, wonderful first lady of the Church of God in Christ, Karen Clark Scheer, wonderful singer. I can't get to either one of them. But I can
it
get
says
to
in, amen, it says prayer is always and habitually received by God. O thou that
yes.
hearest prayer, not did hear it or on a certain occasion may have heard it. He ever, always hears prayer.
Hear it.
If he
yes.
always hears prayer, he always hears praise. And that's the connection again.
Bless God.
Like I said
yes.
before, if he always hears prayer, he always hears praise. It is not delightful to think that God does hear my praise, though it is. But that of a child or a poor unworthy sinner and does accept it in spite of its imperfections. So no matter how imperfect I am, no matter how short I am in my in my shortcomings, I can go to God in prayer, and God will hear.
Yes.
God will hear.
And it doesn't matter.
And
how
so we're talking that we have 8:19, and we're at the end, and it says, you know, it's hard to do things for one who never accepts what you do. Oh, Lord, it says, many a wife has said, oh, it is hard. My husband never seems pleased. Listen, Bishop, I have done all I can, but he takes no notice of little deeds of kindness. But how easy it is to serve a person who, when you have done any little thing, says, how kind it was of you. All right, you married people.
Amen.
Do we do that? We're going to have to mimic that and just say how kind it was of you. And then it goes on to say, our poor child of God, the Lord thinks much of your praises, your vows, your prayers. Therefore, don't be slack to praise and magnify him. Brother Mateo, do you magnify the Lord no matter what? When you hear him, what causes you to magnify the Lord and praise Yah?
Man, that's a long one, sister, but every day I wake up, that's the reason I've found over the recent times that I've been finding everything that praise God. Throughout the day, setting times, reminders. See, every time I see a person or I get to help a person, that really makes me want to praise my Father more because I see and feel me. So I think me wanting to magnify my Father is when he allows me to help somebody else.
Amen.
Yeah.
Unto thee shall all flesh come. All flesh will come because the Lord does what? Hears prayer. Then all our praises are heard. All the praises of everybody, the great ones, the small ones, the poorest ones, the wealthiest ones, he's not going to reject any of us. Amen.
No.
What else do you say in here, Margaret, about this as we close?
Well, I love
it. Finally, brethren,
his closing paragraph, may the Lord's cords of love be thrown around you. May you be drawn now to him. Come by way of the cross. Come resting in the precious atoning sacrifice, believing in Jesus. He has said,
Amen.
Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. John chapter 6, verse 37. The grace of our Lord be with you. Amen.
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 And also with you. And also with you, brother, Brother Bishop. You want to close us out?
You've been listening to us. And perhaps you're one of those persons that made a vow to the Lord, and you kind of walked away. God's not mad at you. And I'm going to ask that you forgive yourself. Maybe you want to make a vow to serve and live with the Lord forever and ask the Lord to come into your life. You've come to the right place. I want you to pray with us. Lord Jesus, I believe that you lived on this earth, that you showed us the way to truth and grace. I believe that you were crucified, murdered under Pontius Pilate. You suffered, died, and you were buried. But I also believe that you were raised from the dead, and dying, you destroyed our death, and rising, you restored our life. And I want to ask to be part of that family.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Come into my heart. Come into my life. Come into my very family. Save us. Heal us. Deliver us. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And according to your word, I am born again. Thank you, Lord.
I'm saved.
I'm saved.
I'm a child of God.
I'm rescued from a burning hell. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And God, we bless you and glorify you for our dear family member. All of heaven is rejoicing right now over the repentance of these souls. We glorify you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God, my brother, my sister.
Welcome. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank
Dr.
you.
Susie,
thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And because we are singing praises to God, thanks
Hallelujah.
To God, we can celebrate each of you like the angels are doing. They are
yes.
excited about your commitment, your vow to become a child of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And
mm-hmm.
we're so excited for you this evening. If you would like to share with us your testimony of how God has blessed and kept you, please give us a call or call in next week or send an email to drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com and let us know how good God has been to you. And then come back next week. Bring a friend, a family member, of folks with you, and tell us your story so that we can celebrate with you on the goodness of our Lord and Savior. Feel free to join us next week as we are here, and we'll be talking about our next week's journey at the last part of the passage of the power of prayer and the pleasure of praise. We'll be talking about the power of prayer and the pleasure of praise. God is good. Please feel free to join us next week at 646-478-4932. Call back to your collection, your connection Bible study, and be with us from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. God's blessings be with you.
And also with you.
Good night,
and also with you.
Good
night,
night, everybody.
Love y'all.
Everyone, love you.
Mateo, it's good to hear your voice, brother.
Yeah.
You too, my brother. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.